Hello and welcome to the AmBOSS podcast, Beyond the Textbook. Every 2 weeks, experts from AmBOSS, the medical education platform, interview medical students and healthcare professionals to showcase international perspectives on everything in medical school and beyond the textbook. I'm your host, Dr. Tanner Schrenk, and today we'll be walking through a clinical case from the AmBOSS Clinical Skills section. Specifically, we're looking at clinical case number 9, back pain. I will be talking you through this case as the mock physician, and the part of the mock patient will be played by an AI voice. So we'll be focusing on what questions a physician should ask in a clinical scenario, what physical examinations should be performed in this situation, and at the end, we'll give you some pro tips and some helpful insights to make your clinical care better and to improve your patient encounters. To follow along, you can go to the AmBOSS platform, find the library section, go to the articles, and then under clinical skills, you'll find clinical cases, which features 40 unique clinical cases written by our team of international medical editors. Number 9 states that our patient is Mr. Kevin Baker, a 71-year-old man who comes to the emergency department because of back pain. We're given his vital signs, temperature 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, 37 degrees Celsius, blood pressure 125 over 80 millimeters of mercury, heart rate 68 beats per minute, respirations 14 breaths per minute, and our examinee tasks are to take a focused history, perform a relevant physical examination, explain the preliminary differential diagnoses and initial workup plan to the patient, and write a patient note. All right, Mr. Baker, thank you for coming in today. What seems to be the problem?
I seem to be experiencing a particularly concerning back pain.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. Let's try to get to the bottom of it and provide you some relief. So let's start with when this pain began.
It began suddenly yesterday when I was unloading groceries.
Okay. And how would you describe this pain? How would you rate it on a pain scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you've ever had?
It's like a stabbing pain in my lower back. I would rate it as a 2 out of 10 when I'm lying still and up to a 6 when I bend forward or cough.
Does the pain radiate anywhere else?
It radiates into my right thigh.
Have you ever had pain like this before?
I have had a history of back pain, but it's never been as intense as this.
All right. Since you said that it feels better if you lay down, why don't we try doing that to put you in a more comfortable position? Now, have you had any recent falls or trauma?
No.
Have you noticed a fever, chills, sweats at night?
None of those.
Have you noticed any changes to your skin, any rashes?
Nope.
Have you noticed any cough? Are you more tired than normal? Any new pain in joints? Any urinary or bowel changes?
No new changes. Apart from the awful back pain, I don't have any other pain.
Has your appetite changed at all? Or have you noticed any changes in your weight?
No, my appetite has been normal.
What about any recent infections?
Nope.
Okay. Have you noticed any tingling sensations? Any weakness in your muscles or numbness in your legs? Any erectile dysfunction? Anything like that?
No, none of those that you've mentioned.
Great. Okay, so let's move on to your medical history, family history, social history. Do you have any other diseases or conditions?
I have type 2 diabetes mellitus.
Okay, what about any allergies?
None.
And are you taking any medications, especially for the pain?
I took some over-the-counter Tylenol the past couple of days because of the back pain, and insulin for the diabetes.
Okay, you mentioned Tylenol. How much Tylenol are you taking?
I would say 300-500 milligram tablets since yesterday.
Have you ever been hospitalized for any reasons?
Never.
Have you had any surgeries in the past?
I had my hemorrhoids removed 3 years ago.
Okay, and what about your family?
My father had prostate cancer.
Okay, and what do you do for work, Mr. Baker?
I am a retired school teacher.
And do you live alone?
I live alone. I am divorced and have one grown-up child.
Okay. Now, do you drink any alcohol?
One glass of red wine on the weekend.
What about any recreational drugs?
Never.
And do you use any tobacco?
I have smoked a pack of cigarettes a day for 40 years.
Okay. How often would you say you exercise?
I don't.
And you mentioned no weight changes. How do you think your diet is?
I think it is pretty normal. I eat some meat, some fish, and vegetables, mostly home-cooked meals.
Okay. Now let's move on to sexual history. Are you sexually active?
Yes.
Okay. With whom?
My girlfriend.
And how many partners have you had over the last year?
I slept with 2 women over the past year.
And do you use any protection for sex?
I always use condoms.
All right, Mr. Baker, thank you so much for answering those questions for me. Now I'm going to wash my hands and we can begin the physical examination. First, your vitals seem normal and you don't look distressed, so I'll start by taking a look at your back. It appears symmetric. I don't see any swelling or redness. I don't notice any warmth, but it seems that there's some tenderness right here around L2, L4 region in your lumbar spine. Let's raise your leg straight for a test. All right. Is there any pain when we do that?
Nope.
Great. Now let's continue the examination. The rest of your legs seem normal. No skin changes, no decreased muscle tone, no asymmetry. I see no swelling, no redness, no rash. Now let's do a neurological exam. When you move your legs, your motor function seems normal with full range of motion. And I see 5 out of 5 strength in all your limbs. Your sensation seems intact to light touch, position, vibration, and pinprick in all quadrants bilaterally. So let me test your reflexes, your deep tendon reflexes in your biceps, triceps, brachioradialis, knees, ankles are all 2+ bilaterally, which is great. And you have no plantar reflex, which is also great. So taking all of this together with your history and symptoms, I see 3 potential diagnoses that we should consider. First, spinal disc herniation. So your lower back pain starting suddenly while unloading groceries, the stabbing nature of the pain radiating into the thigh, all this points towards a herniated disc. The fact that your pain gets worse when you cough and bend forward also supports this, since these actions increase the pressure in your spine. The fact that this pain started all of a sudden, but you've had some back pain in the past, also lines up with disc herniation. It's great that you have full muscle strength and sensation. A lot of people don't when they have spinal disc herniation. And we did what we call a straight leg test, and it was negative. But since you're 71, this can still point towards spinal disc herniation. The second condition that I'm considering that we need to rule out is a vertebral fracture. So the fact that this came on suddenly and you get relief when you lie down could point to a broken bone in your spine. This is more often seen in patients with trauma or osteoporosis or cancer. Since you don't have any of those, but you are over 70, you don't exercise so much, but you do have a history of smoking, you are at higher risk of osteoporosis. The fact that your father had prostate cancer also says that this could be a fracture in your spine. However, these risk factors are relatively low, and the fact that your back pain radiates into your leg points more towards herniated disc rather than a fractured spine. Now, the third most likely condition that we have here, I would say, is muscle strain. So simply straining one of the muscles in your back. This is a very common cause of lower back pain. Typically, it's acute, just like yours was. It came on suddenly. You have tenderness in your back, which also aligns with this. The straight leg test was negative, and your pain radiates to your leg. So this one is less likely than a herniated disc. We would more likely see tenderness throughout your back rather than a very local area. But we should still consider it in our diagnosis.
That sounds comprehensive. What's next then, Dr. Schrank?
So our next step would be to rule out the most likely causes and the most emergent conditions. So I would like to order up some studies to help us with our diagnosis. One of the most severe problems with back pain is what we call cauda equina syndrome. And so we want to rule that out, make sure that it's not that. So I would order a rectal examination. We'll order an MRI and an X-ray to confirm spinal disc herniation. And while we're at it, we can also check if you have any signs of cancer in your spine, even though it's very unlikely. We should be able to see additional findings on the X-ray, such as degeneration in your bones. While we're at it, we could do a CT scan of the spine. If our MRI and x-ray don't show spinal disc herniation, we could find exactly which vertebra is fractured. And if we are thinking that it might be osteoporosis, then we could do what we call a dual energy x-ray absorptiometry. So this is basically a bone density test, and it checks how strong your bones are.
And what about treatment plans for these conditions?
So our treatment plan here is going to depend on our final diagnosis. For spinal disc herniation or muscle strain, we would start with very conservative treatment, so physiotherapy, exercise, over-the-counter pain relievers. For a fracture, we would want to minimize your pain while also preventing further fractures and improving your bone health, since it would probably be from osteoporosis. So we'd give you painkillers, bisphosphonates for osteoporosis, and possibly surgical intervention, but that would be further down the line. If it is the unlikely case of metastatic cancer, we would have to bring in a multidisciplinary team, including oncologists and radiologists, to decide on the best approach. But it's very unlikely that that's the case.
But I'm afraid of getting addicted to pain meds, doctor.
That's a very legitimate concern, Mr. Baker. I understand your worries there. It's important to treat your pain, of course, to make you more comfortable, but it also improves the healing process and it can prevent chronic pain in the future. So if we were to prescribe you pain medication, we'd make sure that it's short-term, unlikely to cause addiction, and we can take it one step at a time. So we'll start with the lowest addiction potential pain meds, and then we can move up the ladder from there, avoiding opioids. Also, taking the medication as prescribed and keeping an open communication channel with me is very important so that we can change your dosage, check up on your prescription, and help ensure that you don't develop any addictions. So, do you have any other questions before we finish up this appointment?
No, I think it sounds like a good plan. Thank you for everything.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming in today, and rest assured you're in good hands. We'll do everything we can to get to a solid diagnosis and move forward with your treatment plan and take care of this for you. All right. That wraps up the patient interview. Let's cover some pro tips and clinical insights beyond the textbook. Number one, the power of observation. So clinical situations are usually enriched with bits of detail that can help shape your diagnosis. As in Mr. Baker's case, the clinical history suggested possible causes varying from muscle strain to disc herniation and even a vertebral fracture. Real-world patients often present with overlapping symptoms without clear-cut causes to their pain, and they may have additional conditions such as his type 2 diabetes. Tip number two. Patient history is vital. The patient history often guides us towards the diagnosis. Little details like the onset of pain while unloading groceries or the alleviation of pain while lying still can point us in the right direction. Even if the straight leg test is negative, we should keep in mind further diagnoses and treat the patient, not the pain. Invest time in asking the right questions to come to the right diagnoses and make sure that your patient is heard and feels taken care of. Tip number three, consider the whole patient. Many ailments share common symptoms, but considering the patient's lifestyle, family history, and age, among his other factors, this can help us pin down accurate diagnoses. For example, when you're considering vertebral fracture in his case, this was in part due to his age and his lifestyle, making osteoporosis a possible cause of his pain. Now, tip number four, fear and anxiety management. So beyond just diagnosing and treating a physical condition, our job as clinicians is to take care of the patient. So patients can carry anxieties like fear of addiction to pain medication in this case. Acknowledging it, educating them, and developing a plan with the patient that considers their anxieties and legitimizes them is an important step in facilitating optimal patient-centered care. Tip number five, patient involvement. It's vital to keep the patient informed and involved throughout each step of the diagnostic journey. This not only builds trust, but can also provide valuable input into the process and help create a more personalized approach to treatment. If the patient is on board with their diagnosis and treatment plan, they're more likely to come back for future appointments. Tip number six, interprofessional collaboration. Various medical specialists, from radiologists to oncologists, might need to join the treatment process based on the diagnoses being considered. So in this case, it's very unlikely that he has cancer, But if it was metastatic disease, we would have to bring in other physicians. And learning to work with such teams, using their input effectively, and bringing them in early in the process, these are all valuable clinical traits to have and best practices for you as a clinician. And finally, tip number 7, learning never stops. Every patient encounter is an opportunity to help someone and help yourself by increasing your knowledge, teasing apart overlapping pathologies, presenting well-considered differential diagnoses, and refining your critical thinking and clinical care skills. That's it for this episode. You can try this clinical case and many others in the Emboss platform. In our clinical cases section, you can walk through this with a partner and try writing up your own patient note. Practice your skills and enhance your knowledge for free for 5 days with the trial linked in our show notes. If you want to hear more clinical scenarios like this on the podcast, let us know with an email or on social media. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Emboss podcast. I'm Dr. Tanner Schrenk, and this has been Beyond the Textbook. The links in the description can give you a more in-depth understanding of these concepts. If you like this episode, please give us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. You can check out the Emboss platform for your medical studies and sign up for a free 5-day trial at emboss.com.